This is an interview of Reverend David D. Friesen of 107 Moore, Aylmer, Ontario. Reverend Friesen was born on November 29, 1925 in Hague, Saskatchewan. Mr. Friesen is the staff person on the Ontario Mennonite Immigrant Advisory Committee of the Mennonite Central Committee, working in citizenship and immigration concerns. Him and his wife Helen arrived in Ontario in November of 1966 as workers for the Evangelical Mennonite Mission Conference Mission Board, and have been continuing in that capacity until 2 years ago, when they started work with OMIAC and the citizenship concerns.
To be missionaries.
So, yes, we went in here as missionaries under missionary support and under the sanction of the mission board.
And they had realized that they wanted to establish a work here. We'll get into that in another interview some other time. But they had then at least decided that it would be wise to send a person in here. You were the first couple that came in then.
That's correct. We'd been in here previously for a visit to see what was needed, and felt that there was a desperate need here. And after going back and looking for somebody to take on that responsibility, we were asked if we would personally not consider going in and seeing what could be done on a two-year basis, but that has kind of drawn out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. How did you, first of all, become involved in any kind of paperwork regarding immigration or citizenship among the Mennonites from Mexico? What got you started?
Well, basically, it became what we would call after our activities. There were people who needed assistance. They had been registered as Canadians in Mexico, being born of Canadian parents. But in some cases, they didn't realize that if they would not apply for Canadian citizenship before their 24th birthday, their Canadian status would lapse, and matters like that, or where the children had never been registered as Canadians, and they had to be dealt with through the Canadian Immigration Department. I took it on for as a part-time after our job to assist the people, because they did not speak English for maybe one of the reasons. Secondly, because they were not conversant with the demands of the law, and as a result, I started studying up on both immigration and citizenship law, and have been able to assist them for all these years, except for 2 years when we were absent from this part of the country.
So did you begin immediately as you when you came here with that kind of work?
I would say that I began possibly within months of our arrival, maybe 3-4 months of our arrival, and have been really in it ever since. Much more recently, especially in the last couple of years, having been employed on a loan basis to MCC, and we've been doing this as a full-time job, mm-hmm. where now I am no longer responsible to any particular church for the spiritual, should I say, the welfare of the church, but only an occasional speaker at different churches, instead of being responsible for on the spiritual basis.
So you're not a pastor of a particular group then, at this point.
That's correct.
So you've been released from those kinds of duties to work for MCC in the papers.
Yes, that's right.
Citizenship, immigration concerns. Were the first ones that came to you difficult cases? Did you find a lot of trouble Did you have a lot of trouble figuring out the law and how that all had to work and filling in forms? Did you have trouble getting handles on that, or was that relatively easy?
Well, there were some difficulties right from the start because, and largely because of the ignorance that the people had been in when they were in Mexico. Many were never registered. And of course, to become a Canadian from outside of the country, having been born of Canadian parents, there should have been a registration of birth abroad before the children were 2 years of age. And this was one thing which the people were not knowledgeable about, and this created its own problem. So then we had to deal with it from a different perspective. Where they had a claim to Canadian citizenship, we first of all had to get them landed under the Immigration Department, then go back to Canadian citizenship and get their Canadian status established.
All right, you're raising some things here that I think I'd like to have explained. Let's work a little bit on the law. What are the legal areas that you're generally working with? What are the legalities of this thing? Can you explain it in relative layman's terms, kind of?
Yes, I'll try from what I see to be one of the earliest steps of why do these people have a claim to Canadian citizenship.
Okay.
First of all, their parents, or in some cases the grandparents, moved to Mexico being born Canadians. They got established in Mexico, however, never became Mexican citizens. Therefore, they retained their Canadian status, even though they were living outside of Canada.
Were many of them Canadian citizens they had taken out citizenship?
By virtue of their birth in Canada, the majority of the people that moved into Mexico from the Mennonite settlements were Canadian citizens. There were a few that were born in Paraguay, and a few, of course, that were born in Russia. And some of them had not become Canadian citizens, but I would say there were just very, very few. Those who had come from Russia and settled in Canada had become Canadian citizens, and later they moved into Mexico with others who were of Canadian birth.
Would they, when you say they were Canadian citizens, that means they were born in Canada, you're referring to now mostly. They then had birth certificates, of course, from Canada.
That is correct.
Did they have passports and other kinds of papers identifying themselves as Canadian citizens?
The majority of the people who had originally gone to Mexico, of course, had documentation.
They had?
Yes, they had documentation.
Was that required of them, do you know, at that time? Or?
It was required in order to be able to move into Mexico. They had to have documentation which allowed them to travel.
So they got passports and things.
That's correct.
Made then.
There were some that had a type of a traveling permit, and they moved together with others who were completely documented and had Canadian citizenship. I would say 95% had either Canadian birth certificates or Canadian citizenships.
So that has been a helpful thing now to be able to go back to those documents. That's been the link that we needed.
If it hadn't been for that, they would be complete aliens and they would have to come to Canada as aliens. But through the Canadian parentage, they were considered until 1947, having been born in Mexico of Canadian parents, they were considered natural-born Canadians. So that means they had Canadian rights until their 24th birthday, from the day they were born till their 24th birthday. Let's make that clear. They were natural-born Canadians, being born of Canadian parents.
Okay, let me clear something up here. Let's say that I would have been born in 1946. Did I have until my 24th birthday to clear it up?
That is correct.
So that I would have another 24 years after 1946 to be able to freely take Canadian citizenship?
until your 24th birthday, you would have had a right to apply for what we called at that time a retention of Canadian citizenship.
Even though you were living abroad.
Even though you were living abroad, regardless of what country in the world, anybody who was born of Canadian parents until their 24th birthday in those early years had a right to Canadian citizenship.
Okay, and that law was changed in 1947?
There was a change. First of all, there was a change in 51 with a retroactive
to 1947.
To 47. Anybody that was born before 47 was a natural born Canadian. After 47 had to be registered as a Canadian born abroad. Then
before the 24th, no, before 2 years old?
Before they were 2 years of age. However, in a lot of cases, the people were not informed. The mail that was sent to the overseers of the colony or to the bishops, to the clergymen, was ignored, filed away in file 13, and the people were not informed that they must register their children before they were 2 years of age, or else those children after 47 would have no claim to Canadian citizenship.
Those who were born after 1947.
That's right.
So those who were born before 1947 automatically had a claim? I don't quite understand the intricacies there.
Well, there are, I could read the law to you there, but there were a few exception clauses, but generally speaking, before 54, before the year 54, those who were born outside of Canada of Canadian parents had a claim to Canadian citizenship. However,
before the 24th birthday again.
That's right, before the 24th birthday. However, there was the 51 change of the law, which made a slight difference, the 54 change, which again made a slight difference, where there was no opportunity given at that time if the children were not registered before they were 2 years of age. Then later, with the...
Then they had forfeited their right for...
Then they had forfeited their right.
They had not applied for retention of citizenship.
There was...
Before age of two, or registration abroad, I should say.
Yes, there was the British Act, which Canada being under the British flag, and then until 54, if I recall right, and I could be corrected on that, but I believe it was until 54, what didn't apply to the natural-born Canadian status could be considered under what we call the British Act, so they were British subjects. And therefore, they had a claim to Canadian citizenship through the British Act.
Because there was no way to go.
But there was.
That was only until 1954.
That's correct. And since then, there have been different changes. The more recent change, which has been advantageous to us, is that they have been recognizing, at our request, a belated registration of birth abroad for anybody who has been born of Canadian parents after January of 1947. They, if they come to Canada, can file for a belated registration of birth abroad and therefore still have a claim to Canadian citizenship.
Okay, so then who does this leave out then? Who cannot file?
Well, actually, the majority that it affects is for those who did not take any advantage. Either they were not natural-born Canadians and filed for a retention of Canadian citizenship before their 24th birthday.
That had not done done, yeah.
This they had not done. They lost their rights with one exception. If they came to Canada and became landed, they could file for a resumption of their Canadian rights, which they lost. However, in recent changes in the legislation, you now cannot file for a Canadian landing or immigrant landing from within Canada. You have to become landed as a Canadian outside of Canada before you enter into Canada for this resumption. So there is a difficulty right there.
So they have to be calling, doing it from, shall we say, from Mexico
they
in most cases.
They have to, like in most cases, like we say, the Mennonites coming from Mexico, they would have to file at the Canadian Embassy in Mexico City for an immigrant landing.
Okay.
And then they can come forward into Canada as immigrants, and after residing in Canada for 1 year, seeing they had a claim of Canadian citizenship through parents or grandparents, they can resume Canadian citizenship.
After 1 year. And
after
if they did not have the claim through the parents or grandparents, how long would it take?
Then they'd have to wait 3 years, and until 2 years ago, they would have had to wait 5 years.
I see. What are the qualifications that allow them to get this landed status, landed immigrant status? What do they need to have?
It's quite difficult at the moment because they are requested to have a certain amount of financial
security,
right? Secondly,
do they say how much specifically? Does the law state anywhere?
Yes, there is a scale that they have to come up to, and it applies to our standard of living and what area in Canada they're moving to or expecting to move to. Like if they're wanting to move into a city, the cost of living is considerably higher. And if I use an example, in order to qualify in either for a landing or in a sponsorship, I believe the scale is something like you have to be able to have the earning power of about $1,000 a month for a family of two adults and a couple of children. So that makes it a little difficult for people who have no training as far as any occupation is concerned. So most of the people are capable, and I want to stress that word capable, of making a good living in Canada in other things than agriculture. I would vouch to say that the majority of the men are able to weld. I would say that even maybe 50% of them would qualify according to our welding terms here in Canada. However, they haven't got a document to show that they are qualified in anything. So they go, as it were, on their word. Their word has to be taken for it. And then when they come to Canada, there are many who take on quite responsible jobs, such as welders for Clark Equipment, Jager, large road machinery, and they're good welders in these factories. And they may have to have a little bit of assistance because the type of welders they're using are different. But usually, in the majority of cases, after a couple of tries, they qualify as ordinary welders. And then after a couple of months, they will be, they get a promotion into a more intricate welding line where sometimes it's overhead welding and what have you. Any type of welding almost that you can name, and they're able to do that.
So these people then need a letter proving that they will have would have work when they come here as well? Is that part of the requirement of a certain amount of income capability?
That's right. They must have a letter. In order to become landed immigrants, they must have a letter from an employer who's going to, as it were, take a chance on them and give a certain amount of guarantee that he is willing to employ that individual and pay at least minimum wage for a starter, and then advance them as it is required so that these people will not become burdensome to the country.
Let me backtrack a bit, because there's one area that I'm still not quite clear on. We had an example today here in the office of somebody who did not qualify, who would only be able to come in as a landed immigrant, possibly, if he applies for Mexico. Can you explain that situation maybe as an example that would help to
Yes.
Clarify?
The gentleman and his wife involved in this case, and his children, all did not qualify.
Why not?
First of all, the parents in this case were both born before 1947. Therefore, they could not be registered on a belated registration of birth abroad.
This family that is trying to get in now could not. Okay.
That is correct. Although both parents on each side of the family were Canadian born. But since they had never filed for a retention before their 24th birthday,
they had lost
their Canadian rights.
Therefore, the children had also lost.
And therefore, the children who were born after both of the parents were over 24 years of age, they had no claim, not even through grandparents. I'm going to include something here. A grandchild may have a claim through grandparents. What I'm saying is this: grandparents may have been born in Canada. However, the parents, in this case, may have lost their rights, their Canadian claim, on their 24th birthday, though they were at one time Canadians. So the children that were born before that parent lost his or her rights may apply for a belated registration of birth abroad, and therefore also claim Canadian status through the grandparents.
Okay.
In the case that we referred to here, both the parents were over 24 when the children arrived. So therefore the children had no claim. The parents would have had a claim until their 24th birthday.
But they
never filed for a retention, therefore they lost.
So their only option then is to become landed immigrants from Mexico. They have to do it from outside of the country.
That's correct. Until recently, they could come to Canada as visitors and then apply for a landing from inside of Canada. However, that law has changed. Now you have to apply for a landing, Canadian landing, from outside of the outside of Canada before you arrive, except in a few cases. And here again is an exception, where one parent is a Canadian, the other parent can be landed and then file for a resumption after being a landed Canadian for 1 year. And the resumption, of course, means to receive that which they've lost when they were Canadians before their 24th birthday, received that status back
mm-hmm.
to them.
Okay, you're just referring to some recent changes in the law. Can you detail those a little bit for me, the difference between the old law and the new law now, the recent changes? summarize them?
Yes, there are a number of rather drastic changes. Before, there were such cases of those who had lost because they never filed for retention. They could come to Canada, and if both husband and wife had lost, then they had to appeal. They had to go before the appeal board, first of all, before an inquiry officer who determined whether they had just claims to Canadian citizenship through the parents that were legally Canadians. Then they were allowed to go to the appeal board, or directed to the appeal board, which was rather difficult for people in general, but after you got onto it, you found out that the inquiry officers were very helpful, and they would give you the forms. They would say, well, listen, somebody needs to assist these people. Otherwise, they won't get the chance before an appeal board, which resides in Toronto. Then, if you could prove before the appeal board that at one time you had Canadian status, because you were born of Canadian parents outside of Canada, and that you now needed compassionate consideration, especially in the cases of many of these people who were financially very low, who didn't have...
coming out of Mexico being extremely poor, you mean?
Being extremely poor. Mm-hmm. On a compassionate basis, the appeal board would grant to them an immigrant landing, because either one should have had a landing before they could get a resumption. And they were given the landing inside of Canada. However, there again is the new change is no landing from within Canada, which makes that very, very difficult.
So the law still remains that on a humanitarian basis they can be allowed, if they go to appeal board, possibly they can have a resumption of status, but it has to be applied for outside of Canada?
Yes, if they apply outside of Canada to become landed.
Oh, then they just become landed immigrants.
They become landed immigrants. However, if they come to Canada, the only approach to the appeal board now is on a refugee basis.
Okay, but if they apply under landed immigrant status now, they don't really go before the appeal board because they need to have a letter of an employer saying that he will employ them, correct?
That is correct.
So that's really the more of the hitch there. The appeal board is only there with reference to those who come in with refugee status. Then.
Yes, for the appeal
so
board...
That law is effectively quashed then,
That's
inoperative at least.
Yes, in cases such as we're dealing with, that the appeal board comes into consideration only under refugee claims.
Now, you've just recently had some on refugee claim now that you're trying to get going on? Or?
Well, this is something that we're trying on a new...
what's the procedure there?
...basis.
Explain what's happening.
There are several families who have recently come to Canada quite destitute, because before coming to Canada... They lived in the Santa Rita area, where the national Mexicans have come and taken back the land which the Mennonites owned. And so they've been driven away from their homes because there's no livelihood there. These people tell me, and I believe it is true, that pressures have become such that they do not dare resist allowing the people to take over the land